The Tom Woods Show, episode 1682.
Prepare to set fire to the index card of allowable opinion. Your daily dose of liberty education starts here. The Tom Woods Show.
Folks, by now you've probably noticed that news about the virus is almost always fact-free hysteria these days. So you need my brand new free ebook, Your Facebook Friends Are Wrong About the Lockdown. Go pick it up at wrongaboutlockdown.com. Hey, everybody. Tom Woods here by myself today talking current events. And I want to bring to your attention a couple of suits that have been filed, one against the governor of New York and mayor of New York City, so Andrew Cuomo and Bill de Blasio, and then also against Governor Murphy of New Jersey in a second case. The one involving New York just had a ruling, and so that's why I want to say something about it. And it has to do with religious liberty during this COVID crisis. And this is significant for everybody, not only religious people, because you may say, well, in principle, I favor the right of people to assemble for religious gatherings, even if I myself don't wish to do so. But it goes well beyond that, because as we'll see, the outcome of one of these cases has a pro-liberty impact on basically everybody. Not only people who want to gather for religious reasons. Now, these cases, both of them, were brought by priests of the Society of St. Pius X, which is a traditionalist order of priests that is in, let's say, an irregular canonical status in the church. But before people who belong to it write me angry letters, there's no denying that. It is clearly an irregular situation, which is why they're bishops have been in talks with the Vatican for so long about regularization. So they know that it's not meant to be a long-term situation that they're in. But these are priests who, even if the local bishop says, well, we probably shouldn't have Mass until the authorities say so, they're not inclined to listen to the bishop on that. So it's these priests plus some Orthodox Jews who also have not been convinced by the arguments against religious assembly. The lawyer in the case is my old friend, Chris Ferrara. Now, Chris and I wrote a book together called The Great Facade about the Second Vatican Council and some of the problems that have emerged since that time. And unfortunately, Chris and I had a falling out many years ago, and it involved libertarianism. I became a libertarian, and he didn't support that, and he didn't think I could be a libertarian and a Catholic. This just became a big argument, to the point where Chris actually wound up writing an entire book aimed at me, arguing against me, which I actually was flattered by, I have to say, that somebody would take that much time to argue with me. But anyway, for some reason, we couldn't just have an agree-to-disagree relationship, and it just collapsed completely, unfortunately. But that's the situation. So we were friends at one time, so I do know him, but that's unfortunately no longer the case. Anyway, one thing I will say for Chris is that he is a devastatingly good writer. He is a master of English prose. I thoroughly enjoy reading his writing, and that has not changed. So the cases had to do with the fact that the policy, the reopening policy in these places, was such that religious gatherings were limited to 25% capacity. But no secular institution was limited to 25% capacity. They were limited to 50%. So right away, what possible public health justification could there be for this distinction? And then secondly, outdoor gatherings. Well, what's going on there? Obviously, the social distancing protocols were abandoned completely once the George Floyd protests occurred. So again, there's obviously discriminatory application of general principles going on. And that can't be justified. So that was the gist of the case. I mean, there's somewhat more to it, but that's the gist of the case. Just for a brief moment, even though the case we'll be talking about today is the New York one, it is, just so you know, in New Jersey, the case involves a priest of the Society of St. Pius X, Kevin Robinson, and then Rabbi Knopfler in Lakewood. That's where his synagogue is. So Father Robinson has been threatened with arrest by local police if he offers a mass in excess of the numerical limits established by Governor Murphy. But Rabbi Knopfler had his synagogue raided twice by local police on account of so-called illegal gatherings because he had more than 10 people in there. Rabbi Knopfler was thrown to the ground, handcuffed behind his back, and dragged off to jail like a violent felon for having hosted a Jewish religious celebration in the backyard of his synagogue. That's how Chris summarizes the situation. In the New York suit, Chris writes, "As the pandemic rapidly wanes, defendants' social distancing dictatorship, put to a test of neutrality and general application, instantly revealed itself as an exercise in social control for its own sake, applied selectively according to defendants' value judgments rather than science or metrics." And then just a little bit more. I do want to spend most of the time on the New York case, but there's just a little bit more stuff about New Jersey that I want to throw in. This is also from Ferrara. This is in an article he wrote describing the cases. He says, "For his part, Governor Murphy has been embarrassed by scathing coverage of his hypocrisy in publicly praising and participating in mass gatherings that violate his own executive orders, limiting gatherings to 10 people, while favored businesses and other activities he arbitrarily declares are not gatherings have no such restrictions. To cover his own activity days before, Murphy has suddenly announced via Executive Order 152 that outdoor gatherings are no longer limited in size if they are for the purpose of a religious service or a political activity, but otherwise are limited to 100 persons. As for a gathering indoors, meaning in churches or synagogues, more than 90 days into the waning pandemic, Murphy's eyedropper now squeezes out an allowance for 25% of the capacity of the room in which it takes place, or 50 people, whichever is smaller. Cuomo and Murphy alike," Chris continues, "have just made a complete hash of their own regulatory edicts, which only pretend to be neutral and generally applicable, but are now clearly revealed as arbitrary restrictions they make up as they go along. Some questions Murphy in particular should be required to answer as the New Jersey case proceeds regarding his sudden discovery of First Amendment rights outdoors but not indoors are as follows. What public health concern justifies allowing numerically unlimited outdoor political and religious gatherings while limiting other outdoor gatherings to only 100 people? The distinction is nonsense and blatantly violates the First Amendment's prohibition on regulating speech or assembly based on its purpose. How can Murphy defend as necessary for public health a 100-person limitation on outdoor gatherings not convened for religious or political reasons and the numerically unlimited allowance of crowds at beaches, boardwalks, lakes, and lakeshores under his Executive Order 143, which are also gatherings? He can't. The public health distinction is arbitrary and nonsensical. What possible public health concern can justify a distinction between indoor gatherings, whatever that term means, limited to 25% of room capacity, no matter how large the room, while no such limitation is placed on occupancy of rooms by workforces and crowds of customers allowed under Murphy's other executive orders? There is no public health difference between the two. Murphy has simply promulgated arbitrary rules that contradict each other, all in an obvious effort to limit the size of indoor religious gatherings versus the business gatherings he favors." Well, a preliminary injunction in New York, Cuomo and de Blasio, and against placing these types of restrictions on religious gatherings in particular, was issued by Federal District Judge Gary L. Sharp in the case. And here's how Chris summarizes it, and then I will quote from Judge Sharp. "Federal District Judge Gary L. Sharp has removed religious gatherings from the virtual ghetto in which Governor Cuomo, his attorney general, and New York's Mayor Bill de Blasio had placed them under Cuomo's crazy quilt scheme of executive orders by which he is enforcing his increasingly indefensible and in many applications patently ridiculous COVID-19 lockdown. Before this decision," Chris continues, "religious gatherings alone were confined to 25% of building capacity, while secular businesses, manufacturing facilities, nonprofits, office environments of all kinds, and even restaurants with permitted tables of 10 people, facing each other while eating and talking without masks were allowed either 100% or 50% occupancy. At the same time, Cuomo, de Blasio, and a host of other public officials throughout the state were applauding, approving, and even participating in mass gatherings, often numbering in the tens of thousands, to protest the death of George Floyd, to promote Black Lives Matter, and to celebrate Juneteenth. So much for Cuomo's outdoor gathering limits of 10 or 25 people, depending on the phase or region of his New York on pause plan. The gathering limits that were supposedly necessary to save lives were forgotten in an instant once the favored protests and celebrations began, thus revealing that his whole social distancing protocol is a sham. And then Chris quotes a passage from Cuomo in which he explains to a reporter that of course he can't allow even socially distanced outdoor high school graduations because people are going to die. So this is what he said. Yeah, I know. Everybody wants to go to a high school graduation. I get it. Not if they're going to die, right? That's Cuomo. And then here's Chris Ferrara. So high school graduations kill people, but not a closely packed gathering of 20,000 singing and shouting George Floyd protesters covering the entire span of the Brooklyn Bridge, as our papers also showed. And then he's got a picture of that in the article that I'm reading from. So it was June 26th of this year, 2020, that District Judge Gary L. Sharp issued a preliminary injunction prohibiting Cuomo, James, the Attorney General, and de Blasio from ordering or enforcing COVID-19 prompted restrictions on outdoor religious worship gatherings. And Chris Ferrara commented, "We are pleased that Judge Sharp was able to see through the sham of Governor Cuomo's social distancing protocol, which went right out the window as soon as he and Mayor de Blasio saw a mass protest movement they favored taking to the streets by the thousands. Suddenly, the limit on mass gatherings was no longer necessary to save lives. Yet they were continuing to ban high school graduations and other outdoor gatherings exceeding a mere 25 people. This decision is an important step toward inhibiting the suddenly emerging trend of exercising absolute monarchy on pretext of public health. What this kind of regime really meant in practice is freedom for me, but not for thee." So a few excerpts from Sharp's order. He says, "It's not the judiciary's role to second-guess the likes of Governor Cuomo or Mayor de Blasio when it comes to decisions they make in such troubling times. That is, until those decisions result in the curtailment of fundamental rights without compelling justification." The court noted that non-essential businesses that enjoy a 50% capacity limitation are not justifiably different from houses of worship. Sharp said that if you look at offices, retail stores, salons, restaurants, all permitted to open at 50% capacity, they all involve the congregation of people for a length of time. So he said, "These secular businesses slash activities threaten defendants' interest in slowing the spread of COVID-19 to a similar or greater degree than those of plaintiffs, and demonstrate that the 25% indoor capacity limitation on houses of worship is under-inclusive and triggers strict scrutiny review." And then the judge pointed out another case of individualized exemption seems even more obvious. He's talking about how Cuomo has now specifically authorized outdoor graduation ceremonies of no more than 150 people, and that's an exemption from the 10 or 25 person outdoor limits that apply in other situations. And as Sharp says, "There's nothing materially different about a graduation ceremony and a religious gathering such that defendants' justifications for a difference in treatment can be found compelling." And then, of course, the fact that Cuomo and de Blasio participated in the protests. Sharp says, "Governor Cuomo and Mayor de Blasio could have just as easily discouraged protests, short of condemning their message, in the name of public health and exercised discretion to suspend enforcement for public safety reasons, instead of encouraging what they knew was a flagrant disregard of the outdoor limits and social distancing rules. They could also have been silent. But by acting as they did, Governor Cuomo and Mayor de Blasio sent a clear message that mass protests are deserving of preferential treatment." And so as a result of the federal order, Cuomo and de Blasio are enjoined and restrained from enforcing any indoor gathering limitations against the involved houses of worship greater than imposed for phase two industries, as long as the prescribed social distancing is observed. They're also forbidden from enforcing any limitation for outdoor gatherings, And here's how you can see how this is relevant even for people who might be sympathetic to religious gatherings but aren't themselves interested in them. They're forbidden from enforcing any limitation for outdoor gatherings, provided that participants in such gatherings follow social distancing requirements as set forth in the applicable executive orders and guidance. Okay, that's a pretty substantial result here that applies to all of us, not just religious people. So in summary, Chris explains and defends the lawsuit in this way. He says, in an unprecedented abuse of power, Governor Cuomo and Mayor de Blasio have exploited the COVID-19 pandemic to create, over the past 3 months, a veritable dictatorship by means of a complex web of executive orders. The orders have imposed and selectively enforced social distancing under a lockdown of virtually every aspect of life for New York State residents on the pretext of public health, but with numerous exceptions. The permissible activities, not based on the science of viral contagion, but rather determined according to personal value judgments, have included mass demonstrations of thousands of people, gatherings of which the governor and mayor have approved and the mayor participated in. Cuomo and de Blasio, along with James, have enforced the gubernatorial lockdown by threat of criminal prosecution and actual prosecution, including $1,000 fines for the recently created offense of violating Cuomo's social distancing protocol. These mass protest gatherings taking place during the COVID-19 stay-at-home lockdown orders have been not only allowed but praised by both the governor of New York and mayor of New York City, even though massive property damage and death have resulted. This, when the government's primary purpose is to protect the people it governs. I might add, by the way, that Chris's own father was a victim of COVID-19. So it isn't that Chris doesn't think the virus matters or anything. It's none of that craziness. But he is skeptical of the approach taken. Certainly, the sending infected people back into nursing homes, which is, in fact, that's where his father lived in a long-term care facility. And so this was not obviously a good thing from his point of view or really from anybody's point of view. But he also says, now this has nothing to do with the case per se, but Chris has written quite a bit about the virus and the response to it. Chris quotes in an article on this subject what Cuomo said back in March, which was this: what we did was we closed everything down. That was our public health strategy. Just close everything. All businesses, all workers, young people, old people, short people, tall people, every school, close everything. If you rethought that or had time to analyze that public health strategy, I don't know that you would say quarantine everyone. I don't even know that that was the best public health policy. Young people then quarantined with older people was probably not the best public health strategy because the younger people could have been exposing the older people to an infection. Now, as you can see, Chris is a rhetorical firebrand. Right? He's not subtle at all when he wants to make a point. So you'll enjoy reading his articles on this. I'll link to them at tomwoods.com/1682. And then related to this, I want to say something that I mentioned in my newsletter last week. And this was actually my business newsletter. You can get on that at pathstoincome.com. And I made note of an item I saw on Twitter published by Bloomberg's Quick Takes account. And the headline was, Live: Aerial footage shows massive crowds rallying to celebrate Pride in Chicago. Now, you might think, there's got to be something wrong here. I mean, Americans who had no particular feature that would ingratiate them with the Borg were told they could not leave their homes. I mean, remember, if a family member died, 10 people were allowed to mourn. Sorry, you stupid rubes, no exception to that rule. You're not allowed to attend a religious service and all that. But yet, there's this big rally in Chicago. So apparently, some people are being allowed to make their own cost-benefit risk assessments. Others are not being allowed to make their own cost-benefit risk assessments. Because the argument for the George Floyd protest was, well, this is just so important, it's worth it. So you get to decide for yourself what's important enough to be worth it. But hasn't that been our point all along, that we should each make our own judgments about what's, quote, worth it and what isn't? Well, anyway, if the Borg approves of you, you can make your own cost-benefit risk assessment. You can go out and have a rally. If not, then not. Now, what surprises me is that there aren't enough people, apparently at least, not ones willing to go public anyway, in the various protected groups, the officially approved groups, who would just, you know, be fair-minded enough to come forward and say, you know, just as a matter of fair play, there's an unfair standard being applied here. There's no reason that my cause should be allowed to demonstrate and your cause not, or that my cause would get everybody cheering for me demonstrating and your cause has everybody calling you a murderer. I mean, that's just not fair. It's not decent, right? It's not the way we ought to treat each other. And as a matter of fair play, I think other people should have the same rights extended to them that I'm enjoying right now. If there is anybody in any of these officially approved groups saying such a thing, I'd like to hear it. And I'm not hearing it. And that's kind of revealing, kind of disturbing. And especially with the LGBT folks, that's how they portrayed their own cause. That's how they portrayed their own cause not 5 years ago, right? Their own cause was, we want to be able to do what other people do. Okay, but so much for that. Now it's, we're going to go out and demonstrate and you backward idiots have to stay home. Now imagine what would happen if unapproved groups held rallies. Well, the thing is, we don't have to imagine that, do we? Because we saw what happens. They were called white supremacists. There was no empathy shown toward them at all. Their dreams and livelihoods and everything they've worked for has been destroyed. And we're told that these people just want to go out and get a haircut. That's how the Borg dealt with that. And when I say the Borg, of course, I'm talking about the unanimous opinion of academia, of the entertainment world, and the media. I love that term, the Borg, because it's just perfect for the robotic repetition of talking points over and over by everybody who's involved. They use the same language. They support the same causes. The Borg, that's right. And you've got to be part of the Borg or otherwise you're an outcast. So again, remember, what was the LGBT complaint? It was that in the old days, they had been dehumanized and treated as despised outcasts. And they were saying that that would never be allowed to happen again. Well, not to them, I guess, not to them. But to unapproved people? Well, it's open season on them. Ridicule them, call them stupid, call them backward, get in their faces, accuse them of white supremacy, call all your opponents bigots, ruin their reputations and businesses, gang up on them alongside the entire Borg so they feel like outcasts in their own society. Well, so much for no more dehumanization. Revenge was apparently too tempting to pass up. Might be nice, wouldn't it, to run into more than seven people who have consistent principles they apply across the board, not just to themselves, but to everybody, and who hold themselves to the same standards they expect of others. Be nice to see that. I'm waiting. And with that, we're going to call it a day, but I will just remind you that we'll have some stuff on this up at tomwoods.com/1682. But I want to remind you about my new ebook, The Problems with the Police and How to Fix Them, A Libertarian Perspective. This is what you want. I mean, there's so much double talk out there these days on the police. Defund the police. And then you ask them about that, and they say, well, it doesn't really mean defund the police. You stupid rube, why aren't you doing your research? Defund the police doesn't mean defund the police. You see, here we are thinking that the dictionary definition of words would be sufficient research, but apparently not. If you're tired of all that double talk, here's the hardcore libertarian response to the problems with the police. And it's way more sweeping and detailed than defund the police doesn't mean defund the police. We want to send social workers out more than the police in certain situations. Okay, so instead of the police coming and shooting your dog, a social worker comes and takes your kids. Oh, that's a great improvement. Now, I got much, much better material in this free ebook. You can go pick it up at problemswithpolice.com. If you're in the United States, you can get it by texting the word brutality to the number 33444. All right, thanks, everybody. See you tomorrow.
Become a smarter libertarian in just 30 minutes a day. Visit tomwoods.com to subscribe to the show for free, and we'll see you next time.
Like the sound of the Tom Woods Show? My audio production is provided by Podsworth Media. Check them out at podsworth.com.